This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. We're picking up the second hour of the show. The phones are open. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can join us online. Just head over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the features that we have there. Once again, that is freetalklive.com. One of those features is our social media platform, which is a Mastodon-based system. I'm very happy to announce that our programming IT guru, Bob, has set up the new version of Mastodon as of today. It's been in the works for some time, but we finally got it going. He had to do a lot of upgrades.
It wasn't that long, I don't think. It was actually relatively quick, I feel like, given that there had to be like OS upgrades and things.
Well, it didn't take him long once he got started on it. Well, we'll just say.
Well, I mean, 6 hours is still quite a bit of time for a busy guy who's got other projects.
No doubt about it. People have been asking, though, for months for this upgrade, so I'm glad that it's finally done.
I didn't think it was months old. I thought it was
the end of January.
Really?
So it's been a few months.
Interesting.
But, you know, it's there now.
It's longer than I thought. Then.
We're up to version 4 point something. I think it's 4.1.2 or 4.12, something like that. Anyway, you can check it out over at social.freetalklive.com. Everything went smoothly. Yeah, it's 4.1.2. So the latest version of Mastodon, which is what? What is Mastodon, Chris?
Mastodon is what they call a federated, so it's sort of like a decentralized, something that's decentralized. So there's many different operators with many different servers, and each server has their own policies.
Some of them are terrible.
Some of them are terrible, yeah. But what this means is effectively you can't be censored, at least not across the entire platform.
Correct.
You can be, if you are on something like, if you're on Twitter, they can just ban you from Twitter, and then all of a sudden your voice goes absolutely nowhere. If a server bans you from Mastodon, your voice still goes to other servers.
By the way, perfect example of what you're talking about, our very own co-host, Nobody, who's absent this week. His mom had a stroke last week. Apparently she's doing better. So, surprisingly, she's in her 90s and she's managed to actually, she's on the mend apparently after a stroke. So that's good news. Yeah. But he's still out in Michigan. So that's why he's not with us. But he did talk to me today to let me know he's been banned from Twitter again. And so he was interested in getting back on Mastodon. I'm like, well, yeah, okay.
Why do you get off of Mastodon?
I don't know.
You know, it's interesting. Like, I've been using Mastodon, and look, I wasn't the first person to hop on Mastodon. You think I would be, given I have a computer company and I'm in the tech sphere, but and that's just it. But I did get on Mastodon. Mm-hmm. I don't know, what was it, a couple years ago? And probably 5 to 6 years ago, I guess. I guess it's longer than I thought, I think.
We started promoting it in 2018 or around thereabouts, I think, at your suggestion when the Liberdon server
I was already on Mastodon at that point.
I think you were.
Yeah, so, yeah, but, you know, people are following me. I don't know how many followers I've got, but there's a lot of people following me. I make posts regularly. I know, Free Talk Live has an account. You post regularly. So, yeah, and there's actually already an established user base for Mastodon long before I ever even got on. So,
yeah, and of course it got really, a nice boost when Elon Musk took over Twitter in November of last year. There was a kind of a exodus of, let's say, leftists that were upset at Musk's new management style over Twitter. And they left Twitter and they joined up a bunch of lefty leaning Mastodon servers out there. So there was a big push then. And I think you're going to see another one now because now some of the right wing people are upset about what's going on with Elon Musk, who has now stepped down as the CEO of Twitter. And he has appointed a woman who was a pro vaccination, pro mask World Economic Forum member. Like, she's a total tool, this lady, apparently, of the establishment, right? And this is the woman that Elon Musk has adopted as the new CEO of Twitter. So there's another big, lots of people, well, how dare you, Elon Musk? There's going to be a lot of caterwauling, a lot of screaming and yelling online, a lot of reeing over this. But the question is, are you willing to do something about it? Some people have canceled their check marks, so I don't know if you're aware, but in recent months, Elon Musk had put on this blue check mark feature on Twitter where he was charging $8 a month. And there was a lot of controversy about that because it used to be you had to be a Hollywood star or a politician or something to get the check mark.
Mm.
And so the Hollywood stars and the politicians were upset because now Musk was letting anybody get a check mark for $8 a month, which I thought was pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
You know, that was pretty fun. And I did actually throw him $8 a month for a few months there just because I thought he had taken things in a good direction. But at the same time, I actually canceled that before this recent controversy.
Yep, sure.
Just because I, you know, still have my critiques of the site. They still weren't as free speech as Musk would like to represent that he is. Musk claims he's a free speech absolutist, but yet he won't allow Alex Jones on the site.
For sure, yeah.
Right? He's banned nobody now from our co-host from the site. And so, the bans keep happening. There's clearly no free speech there. And it would be one thing if the $8 a month actually got rid of the advertisements, but it doesn't.
Yep.
It's like, why are you – what's the deal you're getting exactly for $8 a month if you still have to look at all the stupid ads on the site? So anyway, I canceled that a little while back. And now a lot of people are saying they're canceling the $8 a month to express their displeasure with this woman being hired as the CEO. But that's not far enough, is it, Chris, to just cancel?
No. I mean, the danger is when everybody's on this same centralized platform, you end up with a system that nobody's happy with.
Right, and all it takes is one staff change to piss off a bunch of users.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, it's interesting. This wouldn't be the first time we've seen the right actually look at and even begin to move away from Twitter.
Yeah, sure. Gab got a bunch of their users a long time ago.
Right, exactly.
And then moved to Mastodon.
Gab, actually, is Mastodon. You got people
even Trump
on
is using Mastodon on his site.
You got both people on the right and the left who are moving to Mastodon. And you got the libertarians, too. I mean, it's like you got everybody on slowly moving to Mastodon, just as people have been slowly moving away from Facebook over the years, they're slowly moving away from Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah. And so now's a good time to start thinking about this again. We've got our own server. If you want to join it, you can. It's over at social.freetalklive.com. Like we said, thanks to Bob for doing the upgrade here today. It's working great. Everything's lickety-split, fast, looking good. So hope you enjoyed the new version there. But if you don't want to join our server, there's another one over at liberdon.com. They were first. They deserve credit for being the first libertarian, like true libertarian server run by actual liberty-minded people. And they're still out there, too. So, take your pick. One or the other. They're both free. They're both going to allow you to express yourself. You don't have to be a libertarian to be on social.freetalklive.com. I don't care what your political persuasion is, honestly. But there are a couple of ground rules that we have. We don't have a lot of rules. But we do have a couple of ground rules. One of them is no snitching. And what I mean on that is don't be reporting people for their opinions on our server. Okay, and thankfully, no one on our server has done that with the exception of one guy who showed up during the Twitter exodus in November, right? Mm. So there was like a lot of people leaving Twitter, as I was telling you, kind of left-leaning people. And so you can go to server listings for Mastodon. There's thousands of Mastodon servers. So somehow this guy found our server, and he wasn't a Free Talk Live listener. You could tell because we have a sign-up. Whenever you sign up for the server, it asks you a question about, like, why are you here? And that's the way we keep out spammers. And his answer, you could tell it was written by an actual person, but you could also tell he didn't have any idea what the server was. Okay, well, he seems like a real person, so I approved him, right?
Sure.
And within 24 hours, he started reporting people's posts. And I said, okay, this guy does not understand where he is. He did not read the very little documentation that we have. Like, we don't have some crazy length privacy policy or server policy.
Terms of service,
it's very short, very short, easy to read. Anyone can read it. He obviously didn't. And so I blew him out the door. I was like, you're in the wrong. You're on the wrong server, dude. You go find a server that's better for you because I don't care about what you think about what other people are posting.
Yep.
I don't care about your opinion about what other people are posting. If you don't like it, just use the block feature. You can do that. the system has a way to deal with people you don't want to see. And so we actually say that in the server terms. It's like, okay, you see something you don't like, just block that person. Okay, problem solved. Because we're not going to do anything about it. But yet we still get reports. One of the problems with Mastodon, it ain't perfect, but it's, you know, it's worth using. I think it's pretty good overall.
Yeah, nothing's perfect, unfortunately.
Yeah, one of the problems is it is programmed by commies and socialists in Europe, from what I understand. So, like, some of the moderating tools aren't that great. And one of them that I really particularly don't like is that any jackball on any other server can report posts on our server because they don't like them.
Mm.
So if one of our users on our server is posting to our server about something that somebody on another server, because it's federated, so they're still connected, they can still read what's going on, and our users can go on that server's users' posts and post comments. So they might be doing that and saying things that are upsetting. And so somebody from that other server reports our server users' post, and we have to see the report. And I just don't care. Mm. I don't care what the report is. I'm not going to shut this guy down because he's not libertarian, or shut him down because he's got an offensive opinion. But that's what they want me to do. It's kind of entertaining to see what people do complain about. Thankfully, it doesn't happen that often because we don't have that big of a server. But
yeah, you know what's interesting too is there's actually servers out there that are run by people, you know, on the left, and they will absolutely block other whole Mastodon servers.
They've blocked ours.
Yeah. So, but that's okay.
That's fine.
You know, it's okay. You don't have to sign up for...
They blocked ours for reasons of free speech.
Right.
Seriously.
Right. You know, there's going to be people out there who don't like free speech that run their own Mastodon instance because they don't like... They don't think Twitter's being harsh enough on blocking people.
This is why you need to be choosy about which server. You don't just pick off a list. You should do a little research. What do they believe? What is the reason this server exists?
Are these principled freedom folk, or are these people who, you know, they hate freedom, and that's why they have their own server?
So check it out over at social.freetalklive.com. Maybe you're going to continue on Twitter. That's fine. What I would recommend that you do is get on Mastodon and then cross-post. Promote your Mastodon on Twitter. They may not like that because there was a time when Musk was like targeting anyone who was posting links to any sites that weren't his own site or like official news sites out there. And in fact, they will. Musk made an open source of their algorithms or whatever. He open sourced the Twitter algorithms, and so people dug into that and they found out that you actually get de-boosted. So, like, you get points taken away from your posts silently if you link to other sites that are not news websites on Twitter. Yeah. So, but that said, you can still post them. They're not banning Mastodon posts quite yet.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting.
That way you can let your viewers know that you're over this other place.
It's kind of interesting, that you say that because it's more evidence of sort of manipulation. And I've already know it's happening, but like, you know, it's just more evidence of that manipulation
of
the population. Yeah, it's confirmation of the manipulation. It's just yet another example of it happening, and it's so blatantly out there. It's not like they're hiding it, especially when they're publishing the source code, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, you deserve some kudos for that, for revealing the secrets, to speak. So good for them. But, Mastodon doesn't have that, at least unless it's been modified, right?
Yeah.
When you follow people on Mastodon, you see their posts. You can look at the local server and see all of the posts that are on your own server, the one that you joined. And you can also look at the whole, like, planet of Mastodon posts, at least from the servers that haven't broken up with your server. And as you mentioned, there are some servers out there. And I was doing a search one day for our server's name or whatever, and I found a bunch of these, like, socialist servers that had totally banned social.freetalklive.com.
It's actually funny. I think there's a blacklist that they share amongst each other to block.
Seems like it.
Yeah, block, like, non-left-wing servers.
Whatever.
It's okay. This is why we can each run our own, everybody can run their own server. And it's not like every user has to run their own server, but you know, different.
It's apparently complex, so it's probably not within the realm of the average user.
Yeah.
You do have to be like an IT guy.
There are still, I believe, I think it's around 5,000 servers.
Is that all? I thought it was more than that.
I don't think so, but that's still a lot of servers.
That is a lot.
I mean, compared to one Twitter server, right? Like, I mean, technically there's more servers behind the scenes, but it's, you know, it's like
that one centrally controlled.
Yeah, right.
If Elon Musk says he wants you gone, you're gone.
Yeah, right? I mean, you have 5,000 choices to pick from, as opposed to if you're on Twitter, well, no choices.
You're going to find a home in the Mastodon universe, or Fediverse, as they call it. Let's go to the phones here. We got Gigi on the line in South Carolina. Gigi, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Good evening, everybody. Thank God it's Friday. I have a question for all of our listeners out there in these good old U.S. of A. states. My husband and I were just talking about the horrible event that took place on the subway with the mentally ill gentleman that was essentially suffocated to death, murdered, just like George Floyd was. So here's our question, and I say this.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Before you go on, Gigi, I have to admit, I didn't follow this story closely.
Okay.
But my understanding of this story is that it was not like George Floyd, because George Floyd was killed by uniformed police officers.
You are correct. The man who was accused of putting the black man who was mentally ill in a chokehold was not in a uniform. Correct.
I believe that the man in...
But he was a law enforcement officer.
I believe he was ex-military, right? Or current military?
Ex-military. And ex-marine.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so he had the training on how to take somebody down.
Absolutely, yes.
But let's also be clear about something else, Gigi. Wasn't this guy a dangerous person? This not the Marine, but the crazy man. I mean, wasn't he a threat to the people around him?
Well, this is a good point that you are bringing up, sir, because here is the circumstance in terms of an argument in defense of the ex-Marine. Did he truly feel that his personal safety, his life, and possibly other passengers on this subway train was in fact in direct jeopardy, as opposed to an argument on the other side of the coin in defense of the situation and the environment on the subway train? Was this gentleman just rambling and ranting, I'm hungry, I haven't eaten, somebody help me, I need food? Why didn't other passengers, instead of just yelling at the ex-Marine, get off of them, stop what you're doing, why didn't they pass around a hat, so to speak, collect some money and give it to him, or simply tell this man, at the next stop, we'll get off and buy you a sandwich? Or another option would have been, if they're yelling at this ex-Marine, stop it, get off of him, why didn't they subdue the ex-Marine?
Well, what I see here in this video, and again, I don't know what the full length of the video is. I don't know where it starts, okay? I have not found that. That's probably out there somewhere, but it didn't come up in a quick search. But the video that I do see actually shows other passengers assisting the man in taking this guy down.
So my husband asked an interesting question from a legal perspective. My husband is a practicing attorney here in South Carolina. Are the other passengers negligent, culpable, accessories? Whatever adjective legally you would like to assign, why was only this one individual arrested and charged? Good point that you just brought up, sir.
Yeah. I don't know. If people are out there following this story and they know a little bit more about this, I mean, given the fact that there are other passengers here assisting
That's right.
Assisting the man who is choking out the crazy person, whose apparently his name was Jordan Neely. That was the I don't know if you want to call him a victim, but the guy who died apparently after this. What is not clear is what transpired before the video picks up.
It seems like it's important to know what the guy did. You know, the crazy guy did.
Marine. That's my question. What was his motivation to chokehold this mentally ill person? And if the other passengers were assisting, as I am inclined to agree with you, why weren't they arrested and charged?
Well, they may yet be. They apparently just recently charged the man who choked him out.
Right. It took the district attorney in Manhattan quite a while to make a charge and an arrest. My other question is...
Daniel Penny is his name.
Correct.
Ex-Marine.
Over a year ago, I remember calling in one evening. The war in Ukraine had just begun, and several of you hosts were saying, look now what we're getting ourselves into. And I called in and I said, mark my word, gentlemen, this ain't going to be over in 6 weeks. It's
no.
going to go on and on
yeah.
because the more companies and businesses that get defense contracts, people make money when
That's
war
right.
goes on. And
well, yeah, they needed to have
end.
Something since they as soon as they pulled the troops out of Afghanistan, you
That's
knew
right.
something new was coming up.
That's right.
right.
They needed something new to put people to work and give businesses paychecks and defense contracts. You hit it on the button.
Yeah.
It was simply a new geographic direction.
We'll see if we can find out more about this particular story, you know, why indeed. My guess is the crazy man attacked him. I mean, usually there's...
I don't know. I am of the same ilk that you are. I haven't seen it from the beginning. And don't forget, if people just put their cell phone videos on, does it necessarily mean it was from start to end or... in the middle of some type of altercation, verbally, physically, or perhaps both.
It seems like it's critical to before you can even evaluate whether or not it was any kind of self defense or whether the guy was the military officer was justified in doing anything.
Well,
what was there some sort of violence committed by the crazy guy?
Because this man was a direct threat and out of control, and you can never second guess what somebody will do in their behavior physically when they are out of control. So did this ex-military man have legal justification to
Thank you, Gigi. We're going to see if we can learn more about this. And if you've been out there paying closer attention, like I said, I'm aware of this case, but I have not yet. I'm trying to find a video right now, like one that's not chopped up by the news companies to fit whatever the news narrative is. Thank you, Gigi. There's more coming up here. You can join the show. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
You USA News Update. A confirmed tornado touched down in eastern Nebraska. National Weather Service saying it's located in Lindsay, about 40 miles northwest of Columbus. No word yet of injuries or damage. Meanwhile, a tornado watch continues for parts of Iowa and South Dakota. Severe thunderstorm watches are also in effect for portions of Texas and Oklahoma. Lori Vallow Daybell has been found guilty of killing her 7 and 16-year-old kids and conspiring to kill her husband's first wife.
Is Lori Noreen Vallow not guilty or guilty of first-degree murder of Kylie Ryan? Answer, guilty.
Prosecutors say Vallow Daybell and her husband were obsessed with doomsday-focused religious beliefs. Jamie Foxx's daughter says the actor's been out of the hospital for weeks in an update on the entertainer's health. Foxx was hospitalized in April for what was called a medical complication, but an exact reason is unknown. Dave Collins, USA News.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we're going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
1 in 3 adults has pre-diabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man, your worst man, you, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has pre-diabetes, with early diagnosis, pre-diabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its pre-diabetes awareness partners.
I need some extra money. Do I qualify for the Earned Income Tax Credit?
Use the EITC Assistant tool. With just a little information, this tool helps you calculate eligibility with ease and accuracy, get an estimate of how much credit you qualify for, and get a printout of your results before you prepare your return or visit your tax preparer. To use the EITC Assistant tool and see if you're eligible to claim a credit, visit irs.gov/EITC.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
That's 603-283-6160. Joining you here tonight in the studio is Ian
and Chris.
And Chris, you can join him on his show, which is Freedom Decrypted, and find him over at freedomdecrypted.com. It's a once-a-week tech show with a pro-liberty viewpoint, and he does it live on Saturdays about 5 o'clock Eastern Time. If you can't listen live, well, you can always listen later on via podcast, audio only, or you can watch his video archives at freedomdecrypted.com. So be sure you check that out. There's this question on the table that if anybody wants to weigh in on, I'd be happy to hear your opinion about it, because honestly, I don't have enough information to make a real decision here about, you know, what happened on the subway. There's a subway train in New York City where a man was killed by a ex-Marine, apparently, who choked the life out of him. Now, what was going on prior to the chokehold is what is not clear. The video footage that is available that I've found so far does not have the full confrontation. It just shows the actual chokehold. Not even being applied, but you know, as it was already applied. So it was the video that I'm I'm seeing here picks up in the midst of the chokehold. We don't even get to see the beginning of it or what led up to it. Maybe there is video of that, but it's one of those problems where because of these centralized services, in a lot of cases, like, you know, if you ever search YouTube for video, you always find the ABC News, the CNN, the official big media corporation versions of that video, which, of course, are heavily edited. We don't actually get to see, or at least it's not easy to find, the original guy or lady who recorded the video and put it online. That doesn't come up first. Even though it's the most relevant result, that's what I want to see. That's not what comes up. I actually searched Odyssey for it as well. I couldn't find it there. Apparently, the guy who originally... Well, when you look at the news reports of this event, you can see there's a name, Juan Alberto Vasquez, over top of one of the videos.
They cited the source.
So they did cite the source. Okay, and so I looked him up, and I found an article from Curbed. It's apparently New York Magazine. And I, strangely, this doesn't have the video on this article about the man who took the video, but it does say that he uploaded it to his Facebook page. So that may be why I can't easily find it, because I'm not on Facebook. So that could be the reason. But anyway, they ask him a series of questions about what happened on this particular day. He was riding on a train from Brooklyn to Yonkers, and he said he had some interviews to do at Broadway and Lafayette, where everything took place, is where I was going to switch trains and get to a different train on the 6th to go to Grand Central. He said, something really curious happened. He said, I've made that transfer various times, and I know the stairs are on one end of the platform, but I got confused about whether I should be at the front or the back of the train to be closest. So on this occasion, working off the idea that I should be at the front, I moved train cars at every stop to make my way there. But it turns out I was wrong. The stairs are closest at the back. If I'd gotten it right, I would have been at the back of the train and I wouldn't have seen anything. He says, we stopped at 2nd Avenue and I saw someone running toward the doors. The door was just about to close, 3-5 inches away from closing. Then Jordan stuck his hand between them. Now, which one was Jordan? I don't remember the names of these people here. It looks like, okay, the Marine was Daniel Penny. Jordan Neely was the victim, or the man who died in this case. So Jordan stuck his hand between the doors. He says, the irony that I'd mistakenly swapped cars and the irony that if he'd gotten there a single second later, the door would have closed and he wouldn't have gotten in. But he stopped the door from closing and he got on the train and he stood in the middle of the train car and then he started yelling that he didn't have food and that he didn't have water. From what I understood, he was yelling that he was tired and that he didn't care about going to jail. He says, I tried to start filming from that moment, but I didn't because I couldn't see anything. It was too crowded. And then I heard him take off his jacket. He bundled it up and just threw it on the floor very violently. You could hear the sound of the zipper hitting the floor. At that moment, when he threw the jacket, the people who were sitting around him stood up and moved away. He kept standing there and kept yelling. It's at that moment that this man came up behind him and grabbed him by the neck. And I think, I didn't see, but I think that move of grabbing him by the neck also led him to grab Neely by the legs with his own. They both fell. And then in like 30 seconds, I don't know, we got to Broadway Lafayette, and they were just there on the floor. You ask how many people out of 100 would have dared to do something like that, and I think 98 would say, quote, no, I would wait to see one more sign that indicates aggression.
Yeah, that's not good.
When the two doors opened, everyone rushed out, obviously afraid because now there was an actual fight. I got out and was watching them on the floor with this other man helping hold Neely down. And there's just this confusion over what to do. All these people standing around on the platform and some of them yelling, call the police, call the police. There were a couple of people who approached the blonde guy. They say he's a Marine and asked him what's going on, and he told them to call the police. Obviously, the conductor had no idea what was going on. He was just going to close the doors and keep going. But there were people who stood between the doors and said, no, don't close the doors. I went over to the conductor, too, and he was saying over the speaker, police, police. But there weren't any police in the station. So I went back to where the scene was, and that's when I started to film. So apparently, he did not get the interaction between these people. The allegation, though, is that the ex-Marine came up from behind the man, and that's how he put him in the chokehold. but it sounds like he might have jumped the gun, at least according to this one witness who said he saw the whole thing go down. So with that in mind, doesn't look good for this Marine in this particular case because, you know, if a crazy man's on the subway, he's free to be crazy as long as he doesn't attack somebody. And they're saying, this guy's saying he didn't attack anybody.
Yeah, it's keep your hands off of other people. They might not be saying something. You might think that they're just crazy, and they might be, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're violent. And assuming that somebody is going to be violent just because they're crazy, well, most of these people are not violent crazy. They're just crazy. So, yeah.
Let's go to the phones here. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Jet Stir.
Jet, you're on the air.
Yeah, I got something to say really important about this subject, and that is the choke he applied is called a rear naked choke. I don't know if anybody's talked about that before.
No.
But you kind of climb on a person like a backpack and wrap your arm around their neck and things. It should only be, I mean, to choke somebody out, it only takes less than 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as that person goes limp, you immediately release because you've cut off the blood to the brain.
Right.
And now I'm saying this because I have over 12 years of martial arts. I've been in two branches of the military. And so I know what I'm talking about. I've been choked out before. I've choked out other people before.
Mm-hmm.
But this is something that really people really have to keep in mind, that rear naked choke, I mean, it was supposedly that he held it for 3 minutes.
Wow.
Something crazy like that. Yeah, that's what was reported. And I'm going, man, that takes less than 30 seconds before the guy is out. He's going to be out for a little bit.
So you're saying had he released the chokehold after 30 seconds, there's a good chance that the man would have survived.
Oh, yeah. What you do is as soon as any part of him goes limp, you know, you can tell he's out. And you got to let it go, because otherwise, otherwise it's brain damage. I mean,
It sounds like this is a good case for manslaughter as opposed to murder. But I don't know. What's your thought?
I think they charged him with manslaughter.
Oh, he did. Okay, they did.
I could be wrong about that, but I thought I saw that today.
Yeah, I hate it for the guy, but if you know how to do that rear naked choke, you also know how devastating it is and what it does.
Yeah, second-degree manslaughter is the charge in this particular case. So. Thanks for the update on that, Jet. I definitely appreciate it. Let's continue here with Sheriff David Hathaway calling us from down in Arizona. He is in Santa Cruz County, one of the few actually principled guys out there in a position of law enforcement. David, welcome to the show. What's on your mind tonight?
Yeah, good evening, Ian and Chris. I'm mainly calling to try to improve my audio quality, because I do call kind of semi-regularly, but...
it sounds great. I forgot to mention, you are calling us on the SIP line here, so listeners that want to use same level of quality can go to sip.freetalklive.com, that's sip.freetalklive.com, and get step-by-step instructions on how to get on this particular line. It's kind of reserved for the people that are willing to jump through those hoops, so... Yeah, you sound great. But while you're here, let's talk about the issues, David, because there's a lot of fear-mongering in the news right now about this Title 42 going away. And you explained it to us the last time you were on the line. And let me recap it here, and you can tell me if I get anything wrong. So my understanding was this Title 42 was a temporary COVID provision where they were able to basically just turn people away from the United States at the border, just ship them back over and say, due to COVID, you're out. And that's going to go away now. And it's not
gone yet?
I guess it was, what, was it yesterday, David, that was supposed to go away?
Yeah, at midnight last night. And, you know, I'm doing interviews on this every day. I sent you one on an email, Ian, of one I did with NPR on the subject, and I compared it to the Y2K fiasco, you know, like, oh, the world's going to come to an end at this time, at this date, at midnight. And it's just so hilarious. Like, they're trying to – CBP is trying to manufacture – They're trying to make it into a self-fulfilling prophecy. So what they did is got a bunch of razor wire and containers and double stacked them across more than half of the vehicle lanes on the incoming lanes coming into the U.S. so they could create a really long line and create the optics to look like there is a problem. But, you know, at the same time, they're going to start accepting applications from, you know, a lot of categories of people that they would not accept applications. But as we discussed before, this is not anything other than going back to the Title VIII United States Code, which was always there. It's the title we've had for
this
decades.
This was the title under which various different administrations, children have been separated from families, thrown into camps, all the horror stories that we've heard about under Trump, under Biden, under, you know, Obama, etc. That's what Title VIII was leading to.
Yeah,
right?
And, you know, the Democrats are no better on this than the Republicans. Like, right. I'm disappointed.
Oh, yeah.
The Democrat mayor, who's Hispanic in my town, Spanish is his first language, he declared an emergency in our town, and you know why. You know what's coming next. And it's so that he can qualify for the FEMA money to build shelters and, you know, build, you know, all the public assistance that's not being demanded by these people. First of all, there is no onslaught. There's nothing different than usual.
Wait a minute. Hold on, David. I've seen pictures on social media showing a huge, like, huge waves of Hispanics south of the border just waiting to come into the United States. Are you saying that that's all ginned up fear?
Well, you know, there's, if they weren't accepting any applications at all under Title 42, of course you're going to have some people that were holding off that will come file the applications. But there's this little thing where the Biden administration a few days ago made a rule that said if you don't go through either their app or one of the officially recognized ports of entry where you can make your asylum claim, that you will be ineligible to ever make an asylum claim. So, but then they put you into this virtual queue, this endless list to get a hearing. And they have all these kind of goofy rules, like if you're claiming asylum, you have to first make the asylum claim in the first country that you entered after making an asylum claim. And since Mexico is ineligible for most claims of asylum, most of them are related to places like Nicaragua, Venezuela, and most people that come to the southwest border are from Mexico. But those that aren't from Mexico, they can say you should have made an asylum claim in Mexico first or Guatemala, so you're ineligible to make the claim here. So a lot of fine print that prevents people from
a lot of bureaucracy
place.
That's going to get in the way of people who are trying to escape potentially political persecution in their home countries. I mean, this is just absolutely tragic.
Do you mind if I jump on to just another subject?
Yeah,
heard
please.
You guys talking about, you know, when the government gins up a new crisis to replace the old one, like they gin up the Ukraine-Russia thing to replace COVID. Like another one that I'm familiar with, I used to work in DEA as a special agent in DEA. A lot of people don't know that Nixon campaigned on ending the Vietnam War, but once he was elected, all of a sudden those campaign promises didn't mean anything, and him and Henry Kissinger kept trying to prosecute the Vietnam War. And then the Paris Peace Accords came along, and the agreement was that the Vietnam War would end. But, of course, Nixon and Kissinger did not want to end it. So what happened is Congress took away the funding. They had a super majority on a thing that was called the Case Church Amendment that said no more money could be spent in Southeast Asia, in Laos, in Cambodia, or in Vietnam to prosecute the Vietnam War. So Nixon was really upset about this. He had a law on his desk that was veto-proof because it was passed with in excess of a two-thirds majority of Congress. So he had to sign it. But you know what happened on that exact same day that he signed the bill that ended the Vietnam War, which was July 1st, 1973? On that same day, he wrote an executive order to create the DEA on July 1st, 1973. No consultation with Congress, and all that equipment, those Hueys with door-mounted machine guns, they all went to South America and to Southeast Asia. But under a new war, the war on drugs that he created on the same day that he ended the Vietnam War. So
the DEA was created by executive order? It wasn't an act of Congress?
No, it was executive order on July 1st, 1973, the same day that Nixon was forced to sign this veto-proof legislation ending the Vietnam War. So they seamlessly went into a new war, the war on drugs, that had this kind of a nebulous enemy.
Right.
And a lot of that equipment stayed in Vietnam. The CIA stayed involved. It was the same, you know, foreigners that were being supported by the U.S. And in South America, I did that. I was in South America under a thing called Operation Snowcap, where we had those same Huey helicopters from Vietnam with the door-mounted machine guns, the same, U.S. intelligence operatives supporting the foreign military and the foreign police. So it's like the war continued, and it looked exactly the same. I could show you my home movies of these Hueys with the door-mounted machine guns flying over the jungles and the muddy rivers and the banana trees and palm trees, but it was now the war on drugs rebranded. It was Vietnam War rebranded.
Right. That's crazy. I did not know that history of the DEA. You know, I'm curious. You've mentioned that you were in the DEA previously, David. You're now obviously a very libertarian-minded guy. When did that change for you? Was it, you know, what point in your career did you realize something was wrong with what you were doing? If
well,
it was
you know,
during
you could
your
see
career.
The whole failure of the war on drugs, and it doesn't make any sense, and it's a waste of money, and it's causing death and destruction and misery, and so many people, you know, incarcerated in the U.S. for no reason, for victimless crimes. You know, I just saw the hypocrisy of all that, and then kind of the whole Ron Paul revolution, both of his campaigns. I started reading those things and the Austrian economics and how really, you know, like Murray Rothbard says, the government is a gang of thieves. You know, mm-hmm. It's not legitimate. There's no market signals to anything the government does. It's just funded on theft. And things like even the sheriff's office I work for, that's not a market creation. That's funded through coercive taxation. So even things that a sheriff does is illegitimate. It's not something that there was, you know, people voted with their dollars and decided we wanted the services that a sheriff's office provides. So, you know, it was kind of that realization that kind of instinctively, I think the way my dad raised me, you know, kind of had that libertarian instinct, and then kind of, you know, seeing what Ron Paul wrote and the type of things that he read and he talked about.
Was the DEA your first law enforcement gig, or were you like just a cop before that, or like what came before?
Well, I went to the University of Arizona, and I went to law school, and I was kind of wanting to go in my dad's footsteps. He was an attorney, and then he was a judge, and he was an appellate court judge. Just kind of looked up to my dad. And then a DEA agent actually approached me and said,
while you were in school?
Yeah, well, okay. It was actually right when I got out of school. I was working at a McDonald's as an assistant manager, and then he said, hey, you're wasting your degree. You should come work for us. And I didn't even know what they did, but, you know, and I never strived to be a cop, but, you know, I just got married, and, you know, I was thinking, well, you know, I need the money, and these guys are paying a lot more than I can get elsewhere. So that was kind of the intention.
Yeah. How long did it take you to really start questioning, you know, what you were doing?
Well, especially in the South America part, when I saw, that they would go, you know, blow up, structures and villages and airstrips and whatnot, and think, you know, all the destruction and all the cost. And I was surprised it wasn't showing up on the evening news. It wasn't like the Vietnam War, you know, where you see, you know, the guys with their green, you know, BDUs and their fatigues and going around with, you know, I had an M16 with a grenade launcher on it, and think this is an all-out war. But it wasn't getting reported as such in the U.S. So, you know, it's like just kind of realizing the nature of what was really going on versus what the American public thought about it, you know, just kind of, you know, and then the whole economics of the thing, realizing that, you know, drugs being illegal does not benefit anybody. When anything's illegal, there's a black market that develops. You know, there's no purity testing. People don't live on their reputations. You have unbranded, unmarked things that there's no way to review the producer or the vendor to see are they honorable. Are you getting poison? You know, when you allow a market to come out in the open, then people live and thrive on their reputations. So, you know, like that's why you should make everything legal, and if it's a vendor is not going to want to sell something that's going to expose them to liability.
Did you hear the story? I think it must have been last year. It was about this DEA agent who was about to go to prison, And he came out with this whole expose on what he claimed was the truth about what was really going on in the DEA. There was, like, all these, you know, alcohol and drug-fueled parties that was going on at, like, villas in South America. And he said that every agent within the DEA that he's worked with knows the whole thing is a sham. They know that they can't win the war on drugs. Would you say that, you know, was kind of your experience, that everyone you were surrounded with was aware that this was all completely futile? Or were you surrounded with people that were like true believers that thought they could actually fight and win this this war on drugs?
You know, well, people generally in law enforcement know that what they're doing is not something that's demanded by the market. But they don't want to go home and tell their kids, you know, hey, daddy lives off of stolen money, you know, and this is kind of a scam. And we go lecture people, tell them not to speed or do DUI checkpoints. It's just they like to be perceived as having an honorable profession. But, yeah, like the DEA guys I worked with, they knew it's like, you know, way to make money to get danger pay. And then we'd get hazardous duty pay and foreign assignments. And when I was in, you know, South America, I'd get a free house that was provided by the embassy, you know, like, so, you know, they're people aware that the benefits they get out of it, but philosophically, it's not like they're really invested in it. Although if they need to do a presentation for a school, then they will actually do, you know, a presentation, you know, that, you know, about, oh, the, you know, the dangers of drugs and how all these nefarious people out there. But, you know, there's other things I figured out that probably don't have time to go into this, but right when I was hired, I actually went to the office of the hometown of Kiki Camarena, who was an agent that was, you know, kidnapped and killed in Mexico. And the narrative we'd always been given was this was the cartels that did it. But actually, as I became part of the investigation to see how he died, it was called Operation Leyenda, actually discovered that the CIA was actually led the torture session, and they recorded it on cassette tape, which we got a hold of the cassette tape, and we found out that the Rafael Caro Quintero, he was the one that ostensibly tortured Kiki Camarena, that his ranch in Mexico, Rancho Veracruz, was being used as a staging area for the CIA to bring cocaine to the U.S. and to bring weapons back to Nicaragua. This was after Oliver North and was prevented from pursuing the Contra affair in Mexico. There was actually a legislation in Congress that said no more money can be used for this war, the Contra war, and so they bypassed that by shipping drugs to the U.S. So we found this out, and there's actually an excellent series on Amazon that's free. It's called The Last Narc, that actually shows all of this, and it has the cooperating people that were in the room during the torture session that talked to us and put the finger on the CIA. It's a four-part series, but it doesn't have pixelated images. It actually has the real people that were in the room witnessing the torture session.
Wild stuff. Yeah. It's called what again on Amazon?
The Last Narc.
Narc. Check that out. David Hathaway, thank you as always, man. I appreciate the expertise, appreciate your thoughts, and sharing your story, man.
Okay, thank you, and thank you, Chris.
Yep, hour number three is on the way. You can join the show here. This is Free Talk Live.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.